Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
30-year-old man who made headlines last week after he was ordered by a judge to vacate his parents' New York home has officially left the residence.
Okay.
But not before calling the police on his father.
Oh, no.
Regarding some missing Legos.
You've got to be kidding.
No. No, this is Fox News, not The Onion.
Okay.
Michael Rotondo waved to journalists as he loaded his station wagon with his belongings. The millennial told reporters he called police Friday morning because he believes that some of his 8-year-old son's Legos were in the basement and his father would not let him go look for them. Mm. Instead, the father offered to look for specific items and if he found them, would bring them out. The Legos were found after the police arrived.
Oh, holding out.
Michael Rotondo told the Post Standard of Syracuse regarding the Lego situation, "This isn't a game show. I don't have time to guess what's behind door number one."
Wow.
The parents
Legos are expensive.
Mike Rotondo, his parents, Mark and Christina, filed a petition in the Supreme Court of New York State.
The Supreme Court?
Wait, what?
Yeah. We talked about this going to the state Supreme Court when we discussed this a few nights ago.
Oh, I must have missed that detail. I just thought they had a district court ruling or something.
Yeah,
like
I didn't realize this either.
Yes, they filed a petition in the Supreme Court of New York State claiming they've had enough of their son living under their roof.
So it wasn't an appeal? Must be some kind of New York thing. You know, normally at the Supreme Court, you've got to take an appeal.
It may have worked its way through courts. Yeah. I don't know, and Fox doesn't give the entire legal backstory.
I'd be interested to hear that, because it would suggest that if it was working its way through the courts, that they would have lost at the lower court, and that they would be appealing.
You would think.
Well, my understanding is that the son kept saying, "I'm owed renter's rights," even though he had no lease and he was not renting. He was claiming renter rights.
Yeah, in New York City.
I need 6 months before you can kick me out.
It wouldn't surprise me if that was the rules in New York. I mean, it's one of the most pro-government, big statist places, and you're likely to see more so-called renter's rights, where even squatters are likely given some level of renter's rights.
Yeah, I think he was arguing he had a verbal contract. Wasn't that the way they phrased it?
Let's continue with the article instead of speculating and maybe they answer. He had refused the judge's request to work things out directly with his parents, who sat quietly nearby.
Wasn't it the case that he had an apartment for a while already, so he had been living
on
his own?
He was out on his own for a period of time and then went back for some reason. I don't know what all the history is there.
No,
it doesn't
job.
Really matter. It's just an interesting case
there
study.
There was some kind of arrest, and I forget what the charges were. I think there was some kind of stalking.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, against like the ex or something.
I don't think it was against the ex.
Okay.
But, you know, once you have a criminal record, it does make retaining employment a little more difficult.
And probably renting, too, even, especially in places like New York.
Right, so when you don't have a job, it's hard to pay rent.
Well, no, they do background checks.
Mark's
a
felon, and
places.
He could get work out of it. I understand it's harder.
Right.
But it's like the guy that calls this show over the years, Dave in New York, also in New York, who is like definitely a man-child and always complains about not having a job.
Right.
Always complains about it. But whenever you ask him, "Oh, well, Dave, how many job applications did you put in this week?" It's like,
nothing. None.
I walked around and I saw a place that had a sign, but I wasn't going to apply there because
I'm too good for that place. You know, that kind of attitude of you need a job, but you don't really want to work at pretty much everywhere that has a job available.
One thing that's interesting is, it seems as though in Western culture, if you will, it's frowned upon for families to stay together while the kids are, past schooling age.
Yeah.
Where there are other places to where, the entire family just lives
it's
in the
normal.
Same house for multiple generations.
Yeah, and some of these things are financial too, financial aspects of it too. And it's actually interesting as we see more socialism in the United States, we're seeing more of the kind of stuff that's going on in, you know, Europe where, you know, kids, it's common. Like, they've got like a 40%, was it? I think it's something like 40% unemployment rate for, or it might even be higher than that for people under 30 or something like that. It's just ridiculous.
In the U.S. or Europe?
No, I think it's like France or, no, it might have been Spain I'm thinking of. But yeah,
well, there's
it's
a whole
really
like movement
high.
Of anti-work in France. You see it on like May Day every yeah. year, where they come out and blow up a bunch of stuff
things. The taxes part that the businesses have to pay in France are ridiculous.
But part of the problem with young people, they're actually not able to get work because the laws prohibit employers from firing workers. So there's no opportunity for younger workers to be hired in the first place.
I think that the man-child did his parents wrong by not adhering to their request that they leave their private property.
Sure.
Especially after the amount of time that they gave him. Oh, Lord. I mean...
20 years.
Right. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And maybe for me, and I hate labels, and I want to add that in there, the millennial label, because... Yeah. If you were to look at dates, they would label me as a millennial, but I emancipated myself at the age of 17.
Nice.
And, you know, so I just don't, I'm boggling my brain as to how a volunteer society would deal with a man-child like this.
So this is a good question, and it comes down to questions about what society would look like, how it would be organized, because we know that libertarians generally are big fans of the idea of property, right? So that's kind of one of the bases of where we're coming from. And so the property owner, of course, has the right to control their property, and presumably we would be living in a society in which that is a continued belief, right? Because if people don't believe in property, we got a big problem on our hands. So presuming that
you're not kidding.
Yes. So presuming that the supermajority of people in any given area believe in the idea of property, then there's probably going to be some sort of enforcement that will be considered acceptable, right?
So. If we're going to talk about, you know, like weird hypotheticals in the future, all right, let's talk about the aforementioned barbecue. And let's say
where
that
there's no contract at all.
There is no contract, and I show up. And I eat three hamburgers, but they only planned that everybody was going to have two hamburgers. And then they said, Daryl, you need to leave. But, like, you invited me to the barbecue. I'm not leaving. If they just decide to shoot me, technically there are some libertarians that be like, well, at that point, you're trespassing. You deserved it. But I think everybody in the community would then frown upon
the person
shooting the people at the barbecue
because
they ate too many hamburgers.
Right, because they've escalated force beyond what was necessary to remove the person.
Well, so they didn't shoot you for eating the hamburgers. They shot you for not leaving.
That's still not okay.
I agree. That's excessive use of force, right?
Yeah.
So I would say an appropriate use of force relative to the situation.
So it all depends on ultimately what people want, right? Like if you're in a society of people who believe the maximum use of force is okay, like
at any given time,
like a bunch of Melanies and Christopher Cantwells, you know, if those people are 90% of your neighbors, then that's a very dangerous
new neighbors.
Yeah, that's a very dangerous place to live, and you probably should consider moving to a society where more things that are typical are found. So
it's not even like we don't have that situation now. There's dangerous neighborhoods where there's gangs and stuff, and people who are smart, they leave, right?
Sure. At least, you know, in a voluntary society, we would not have a layer of bureaucracy and political class that everybody would be forced to pay into.
Right.
So if you didn't like the way a particular court system or, you know, arbitrator or whatever performed its duties, you could use their competition or start a competitor. If you didn't like the way a particular protection service provided its protection services, like the police blasting away somebody just because they got a phone call, or showing up at a domestic disturbance and, you know, forcing to take somebody off the property and arrest them, as many jurisdictions have mandates that police do, even if by the time the police arrive, things have settled down and both parties are like, nope, we're fine, have a nice day. In a lot of cases, in jurisdictions, they will be just trucking somebody away in handcuffs anyway, because that's what the law says to do. So, I mean, there's so many different examples of how terrible the current system is. It's hard to imagine a competitive marketplace would be worse than what we currently have. But some people want you to believe that.
Right.
And, of course, there is always that fear of change. There's the fear of, my God, what would it look like? Well, how do we know? I mean, we don't know exactly how the marketplace is going to orient itself. We can sit here and think about it. Our ideas are as valid as anybody else's, which is to say, you know, unless they're a security professional, then they're probably more valid. I suspect that it wasn't through the demands of the poor that the police came about. Didn't they come about from returning slaves to their masters?
Not according to this author, and like I said, I cannot remember his name, so...
Okay. I thought that I, you know, maybe it was in the South or something like that. I could have sworn I'd heard that in the past, but I'm not a historian, so I don't know, Jack.
Well, there were, you know, certain people whose entire job was to go capture slaves.
Yeah.
But I don't know if those people necessarily became the police after slavery was abolished.
Or during or whenever it was. I don't know. Maybe somebody who knows or has other opinions can weigh in here. Because it doesn't seem like anyone's really
I myself, you know, am relatively low income. And I was thinking about things that go on in my neighborhood. I think we... my entire neighborhood probably could get together and hire our own guard who would be responsible to our needs instead of relying on the police. You know, because poor today is not the same thing as poor in 1900.
Well, you're much more wealthy today than you would have been if you were in 1900. Like, you've got air conditioning, you've got multiple cell phones in a poor household, multiple television sets, so it's much nicer today. But all that said, the poor certainly do not get the best response from the police.
In 2014, two officers with the St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office in Florida went to the home of Gregory Vaughn Hill Jr. for a noise complaint. Hill, a 30-year-old black man, had been blasting an expletive-laden song by a rapper named Drake, and an unhappy neighbor heard the song, called police to complain. The two deputies, including Christopher Newman, arrived to the house and knocked on the garage door, which Hill opened. The officers exclaimed...
Mistake number one.
What, playing
opening
loud
the
music
door.
Opening or
the door.
Opening the garage door?
Nah. Opening the door.
Don't open it.
The
you don't
officers
have to.
Yeah. Then exclaimed that he had a gun, according to a lawsuit from Hill's family. He then closed the door. Newman then fired bullets through the garage door.
Wow.
Hitting Hill once in the head, twice in the chest.
So wait. Dude just claimed to have a gun? He didn't flash the gun?
No. The officers
said... Oh, the officers
said, so I'm going to play the scenario here. Knock, knock, knock. Door opens. He's got a gun!
Oh.
Door closes, and then they fire at him.
Oh, wow.
Wow. And that, and they're blaming him for this?
Hill's family filed a wrongful death lawsuit in 2016 after a jury did not indict Newman. Just a quick search for Gregory Vaughn Hill unarmed. There are some reports that he was unarmed. But again, the police said, he's got a gun! And so then he closed the garage door. Meaning, there's a garage door between him and the police.
Well, it didn't stop their bullets, apparently.
He was not a threat to anyone.
Well, I mean, they shot him through the door. So if he did have a gun, he could have shot through the door at the police, in theory.
Yeah, but the police could have moved 2 feet in one direction or the other, and he wouldn't have known where to shoot.
Well, that's one of the reasons why he never should have opened the door in the first place.
Right. Yeah,
Let's continue on.
Especially
with
if he was
story.
Indeed brandishing a gun, just like drunkenly playing with a gun in his garage to rap music or something like that. I mean, it's not unbelievable that could be happening, but you'd have to be pretty wasted to brandish a gun in front of the cops like that.
Yeah.
His fiance Monique Davis told NBC that the decision left her feeling shocked.
Yeah.
She said,
My heart
just dropped. It was like, are y'all serious?
Yeah, that's not just a shock. That's a slap in the face. I mean, that's the equivalent of leaving a penny on the table for your server. The jury in a civil case, because the criminal jury refused to hand down an indictment, a civil case jury awarded him $4, of which they said the police were only responsible for 1%, so he got 4 cents.
Yes. And his lawyer, again, said, I'd rather have seen zero than to have to tell these children that their pain and suffering for losing their father is worth only a dollar.
Yeah, it's an insulting verdict.
Sheriff Ken Mascara praised the jury's decision, writing on Facebook, "We are pleased to see this difficult and tragic incident come to a conclusion." Deputy Newman was placed in a very difficult situation, and like so many fellow law enforcement officers must do every day, he made the best decision he could for the safety of his partner, himself, and the public, given the circumstances he faced. We appreciate the jury's time and understanding.
Cursing does not justify murder. I don't know what planet these people are living in, but no. And neither does a gun. Possessing a gun and interrupting somebody who's listening to their music does not justify murder.
Well, again, it's easy to jump to the conclusion that the cops are lying because cops in so many cases have lied.
Okay, wait a minute. Even if they weren't lying, and yeah. I'm not jumping to the conclusion that they were lying, it still doesn't justify murder.
They do have video.
Really?
A SWAT team first discovered that Hill was dead using a robot to photograph the inside of the garage.
Yeah, that's after the fact. I mean, like, while the incident was going down. I think it's ridiculous that they, you know, basically had a standoff with a dead man in this particular case, which is what it sounds
like. Oh, there were some cops on the other side of the state of New Hampshire that had, like, a 17-hour standoff with an empty house.
Right, somebody who wasn't home.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Hill's fiance, continuing with this story, Hill's fiance said she's not going to rest until she feels that justice is served.
Well, telling the New York Times, nights.
"I'm going to keep fighting until I get some justice. That's the only way I'm ever going to get some peace."
I'm sorry, you're never going to get it. Yeah. I wish I had better news for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot's going to have to change for anybody to get justice.
All right, so it's worth pointing out here again that, okay, I want to be clear. I'm not saying it's okay to blast music and disturb your neighbors. If that's what was happening, and it certainly could have been, right? Like, this isn't unheard of. You know, I've seen houses before where they've been pretty loud, and I can understand why.
I got a noisy neighbor, actually.
Would be upset. Right?
Yeah, and I know some of my partner gets upset when they have their loud parties late at night.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I get that. Yeah. I'm not saying that that's okay, but certainly death is not an appropriate response to loud music. So there's got to be a appropriate middle ground. But the fact is, having more evidence on your side is the only way to get through this. The lady, the girlfriend or fiance or whoever it was in this case who said she wants justice, without any kind of proof on either side, the cops are always going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
The courts are always going to rule. The juries are always going to rule. Even with all of the outrageous things that police collectively have been involved in, many juries are going to rule in favor of the police unless they are given express reason not to. And without evidence, without video.
Yeah, you know, what's funny is I'm very much, I tend to be somebody who will give people, you know, will give, you know, I'll give people the benefit of the doubt. But in a situation like that, I mean, just what we know of what happened based on the police's own, what the police have said, I don't think I could. There's two different sets of evidence. There's the one beyond a reasonable doubt, and then preponderance of the evidence. And beyond a reasonable doubt is what you need in a criminal case. I think I would have convicted probably in this case with the police if they had been charged. I don't even think this is just a preponderance of the evidence case. I mean, from the sounds of it, it's hard for me. It would be hard for me to believe that any other situation was, you know, there was another possible situation. So the title of the article is "Deadly Swatting Case in Kansas Shares Link with Cincinnati Incidents." It happened at 2 a.m. on December 18th. "They just said, stay away from any windows, so we did," Fisher said. Fisher watched the Cincinnati SWAT team surrounded as they surrounded a house across from his on Whitkind Terrace in College Hill. It turned out to be more than a false alarm. "This was definitely a swatting incident that occurred here last December, and luckily it was handled very well," Cincinnati Police Lieutenant Cologne something Paul Newegate said. "It turned out for us without incident." Oh, that's good. Swatting involves someone making a false emergency call to lure police to the address of an unsuspecting person. Yeah, that's probably better
definition. It doesn't always have to do with playing gaming, but that's where it originated.
Yeah,
that's where the first known incident happened.
Yeah, much better explanation of what it is than I think than what we were given. Yeah. 10 days after the swatting incident in College Hill, Newergate said a nearly identical fake 911 call was made in Wichita, Kansas. Only in that case, SWAT officers ended up shooting and killing an innocent man.
Oh, no.
Yeah. What we know,
we talked about that situation in Wichita.
Did we?
Yeah.
This was a little while back.
Happened back in December.
I don't know if you're familiar with the Census Bureau. Well, I got the survey, the American Community Survey.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that. What that is.
We are aware of that. That's the one that comes out more often than every 10 years. So the census is supposed to be constitutionally every 10 years, but they went ahead and just added this extra thing that happens during that 10-year window.
Right. And even though it says, like, you know, you're required something to fill it out, you're not actually required to fill it out.
Yeah.
And if you put it in a shredder, then they will never prosecute you at all.
Well, that's not legal advice, but that's our understanding, at least.
Well, I called the American Civil Liberties Union. They never called me back. I went to Senator Tom Udell's office, and the guy just blew me off. He said, I'll pass it along. It's against my civil rights. I don't know how, if you know what this entails, like 30 pages. It asks your race. Yeah, this is not the race, not of Hispanic. You're Mexican-American, Puerto Rican, Cuban, and then it asks your origin. If you're white, black,
super
or African,
it's
horrible. Yeah. Your age, are you working? Your health care, when was the last time you worked? Do you have access to the internet? I mean, I've known census before. When I lived in Florida, they came to the door and we said, yeah, we answered it. They went away.
It's just so outrageous, so often, so frustrating when you see and hear and see video from stories of police literally getting away with murder in many cases and then not having any kind of consequence whatsoever. In fact, in a lot of cases, the officer in question will receive a time off with pay, suspension with pay, while he's investigated by his own department.
Yeah.
Which inevitably returns a result of, well, Officer so-and-so is doing everything by the book. He's completely legitimately murdered this person.
I've seen stories where people have gotten promotions shortly after. Where it's,
they'll get a medal for,
unbelievable,
for throwing a gas grenade into a baby's crib.
Had no reason to believe that there would be a crib on the other side of that window, and they had no clue that there would be a baby sleeping in the crib.
Yeah.
Do you expect them to have X-ray vision?
So, and I don't know if that guy got
a medal. It's basically a paraphrase of what the judge said in that case.
Yeah. I don't know if that dude got a medal, but that's the kind of thing that people get, you know, promoted for. You're absolutely right. And it's so frustrating because people want to have something done about it. Their loved one has been killed or maimed, or their dog has been shot, or, you know, whatever it is that the horrible thing the police have done. They've burned down somebody's house. They've arrested the wrong guy. They've raided the wrong house entirely. And they're lucky if they ever even get an apology. Police have attacked a beach bunny. So you think it's just the cops are going after, you know, the black guy in Miami who's pounding out the beats in his garage and getting shot to death. Luckily, this girl didn't get shot to death, but she did get a pretty severe beating, completely unnecessarily by the police in this particular case. And I think it's worth pointing out, this girl appears to be white. So I just want to point that out because there's this narrative out there, which is a false narrative that says, oh, only black people get hurt and or attacked or shot or whatever by the police. And it's like, no, they definitely do attack black people plenty often, but they also attack everybody else as well.
Yeah, it's
so everybody is in danger from these people. It is not necessarily an anti-black thing. It's a power thing.
It's you know what I think it is. It's there's certain groups of people who are disproportionately being abused and attacked.
No doubt.
Young people is one of those groups.
She is 20.
Absolutely.
Yep, in this case.
I think somebody at my age who's white male, probably not so much, especially if you have a little bit of money. And it's obvious, but
if you're driving a Jaguar down the street, you're less likely to get pulled over in the first place.
Right.
Depending on the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You drive that Jaguar through the hood, You're getting pulled over faster than you can say blue light.
All right.
I was curious if New Jersey had one of these you must identify laws like
most
some places.
States do, I think.
According to the ACLU of New Jersey, police in New Jersey may not request your ID or demand your name unless they are issuing you a court summons.
Really? Well, because he would have had probable cause, likely, in this circumstance, given that she may have had possession or nearby possession or whatever of an alcoholic beverage.
I've refused ID in New Jersey, and I never had any issue.
Okay. Even if they were questioning you on a suspected crime?
Walking down the street.
ACLU New Jersey says they can't demand this information unless they are giving you a summons.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in this case, they might have been trying to give her a summons because she did allegedly have an alcoholic beverage either nearby her or perhaps even in her possession. That's what all this is about. That's right. Why this woman had her head beaten on by a cop and shoved into the sand and deprived of oxygen because of something in a glass bottle. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. That's how insane this
lady, she is guilty of the same thing that Edward Snowden is guilty of, the same thing that Chelsea Manning is guilty of, the same thing that Ross Ulbricht is guilty of. And it's the only thing that's illegal in this country, and that is disobeying.
Yeah.
You did not sit down, shut up, and do what you were told.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more. All for free at freetalklive.com.